Welcome into a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. I'm Alex Hughes, alongside with me, Jackson Ryan. And we have a special edition opening day show for all of you right now. Justin Toscano, Mets beat writer, joins the show. But before we get into this interview, Jackson, crazy how baseball works. We record this interview about 10 minutes before the news breaks. Francisco Lindor gets the contract extension with the Mets, 10 years, $341 million. And, well, we talk about it with Justin, but he breaks down of just how crucial this contract is. Again, we recorded this before the news breaks, so we do talk about that in the interview, but just how crucial Lindor is to this 2021 and now for the next 10 years Mets team. So without further ado, Justin Toscano, Mets beat writer. Joining Bottom Line Baseball right now, Justin Toscano, a Mets beat writer for the Record North Jersey. Justin, how are we doing today? Opening day, baseball season finally here. It's a great time of year. But as you mentioned before we hopped on, Mets fans are, I don't know what the pulse is in New York right now with the idea of not having a Lindor extension happening. So what do you feel like the pulse on this Mets fan base is at the moment?
I think the best way to describe it is on edge, because when you went back to last week and last Friday specifically, and Steve Cohen was bantering, asking fans, crowdsourcing kind of what they thought Lindor would accept. So that seemed like a good sign. And then they had dinner Saturday night, Lindor and Cohen. So everything seemed to be pointing up until the sides kind of came and are now at an impasse here. And so I think people are on edge. I think people understand that things like this can change quickly with one call, even can get things back on the tracks. But I do think that Mets fans, you know, look, it's a fan base where fans, no matter how good things are going at a certain time, like they always expect the other shoe to drop, for lack of a better term, you know, expect something bad to happen. And so I think this is kind of more of that. They're a little on edge, missed out on a few big free agents this winter, but they expected their team to, you know, sign Lindor to a long-term extension. And as I'm talking to you guys right now, it hasn't happened yet. And so I think people are on edge, kind of scared that this thing's not going to get done.
And Justin, kind of going off of that, how much of an impact could this even have on the regular season, not having Francisco Lindor, you know, signed yet with the New York Mets?
Yeah, I don't – the Mets keep Luis Rojas and the players keep saying it will not have an effect. And I think that goes to what they've said about Lindor as a person, and just not only the player he is, but the type of clubhouse presence he's been. And that's been something that's been a real strength of his throughout his career. A lot of his teammates have praised him for that, lauded him for being that guy who brings everybody together, a leader, not in the way that he's demanding things from everybody, but the way that he's going to work harder than everyone. He's not going to ask people to do something he wouldn't do himself, things like that. And I think the Mets have really taken to how he's helped everybody, how he's fit in so seamlessly, players especially. He's earned their respect very quickly, and the respect of his coaches. So I don't think it'll have a lingering effect on the team, because I think a lot of times these extension negotiations are more in the media and in the fan base, if that makes sense. And so I think, not that it's not a big deal, but I don't think, you know, if he doesn't sign, I think players might be like, oh, that's a bummer. But like, I think every player in the game understands, especially in this day and age, that it's a business, and everybody understands that it's his personal decision. Like Pete Alonso said as much yesterday. Other guys have said the same about, you know, both Lindor and Conforto and another guys who are slated to be free agents, but just realizing it's their decision. So I don't think it'll have a huge impact.
You brought a great point up there, Justin, when you said it's basically all in the media, right? It's all kind of a part of that. And if you Google New York Mets news, you have 100 different articles about this Lindor extension possibility. So where does this kind of fit into the big picture of it becoming a distraction at this point of opening day, less than 24 hours?
Yeah, it's almost more of an unfortunate thing rather than like a distraction that'll affect the team. Unfortunate because, like, look, this team on paper is the best team the Mets have had in years, talent-wise, and depth-wise. And so You know, you come to DC, you leave camp, you know, with a lot of excitement, you enter camp with a lot of excitement, leave camp with a lot of excitement. And it seems like a Lindor extension is going to get done. And then the sides kind of stopped talking. The Mets gave what they, you know, what they believe to be their best and final offer. And that, you know, still stands, not willing to meet his counteroffer yet, or at least, you know, as far as we've heard. But it, the distraction, I think, comes in the way of, like, for fans being able to enjoy opening day, right? Because I think the team is still going to be pumped up. You know, you're behind DeGrom, all that stuff. You know, the guys are just playing every day. They want to win. They want to win a World Series. That's just the way it works. And these personal things they understand are handled by agents and the front office. But the distraction, I think, comes from the fan base, right? It's like you want to, if you're a New York Mets fan, you want to enjoy opening day. You wanted to wear your Lindor jersey knowing that he was going to be here for 10 more years. You know, you didn't want to have to worry about have opening day somewhat soured by the fact that the sides, you know, couldn't reach a deal. If that's still the case by opening day tomorrow, with, and look, like, it was opening day was Lindor's self-imposed deadline. So, I mean, that means this is pure speculation from me, but he could theoretically change it at any time. But if the sides can't reach a deal, I think for fans, that puts a little bit of the damper on opening day, because now you're wondering, like, okay, is this guy going to be a one-year rental? And then you're thinking ahead about, are we going to be able to re-sign him if they couldn't come to a deal now? So I think for fans, it's a little, for the team, it's probably not really going to do much. But for the fans, I think it's a little bit of a, you know, a prick in the balloon, if that makes sense.
And Justin, you kind of talked about opening day and talk about Jacob DeGrom, obviously a number one, but how important is it going to be to have a full year of Marcus Stroman and Taiwan Walker in addition to solidify that rotation even more?
Right. That's the most important part this year. You know, if you look at the roster, other than the Lindor acquisition, what they did with the starting rotation is probably the most important part of what happened over the offseason. Because, you know, even with Carrasco hurt, this unit is still a far ways ahead of where it was last year. Well, December 2019, to be exact, the Mets bet on Michael Wacha and Rick Porcello. And that just, as we learned last summer, just did not work out. It actually failed miserably for a number of reasons. And so last year you had kind of a situation where it was Jacob DeGrom and everybody else in the rotation. And their second best starter was David Peterson, who was a rookie and still trying to find himself and pitched very well. But you would like to have more than just Jacob DeGrom. And yeah, so this year having a full year of Marcus Stroman, who seems to be in a good place entering the season. Even though Carlos Carrasco's hurt, they figured to get him back, you know, after not too long. And then you've got, yeah, like you said, Taiwan Walker is a guy who hasn't pitched a lot since Tommy John in 2018, but he figures to be an upgrade over the back end, at least that they had last year. And then, you know, you start thinking about Noah Syndergaard, who could come back in June. It's and on track to come back in June. We don't know what he'll look like yet, but overall, when healthy, this is a very promising group. And you just add that to the rotation depth they have and picking up Joey Lucchesi, who will be their fifth starter, could start behind an opener, whatever they might do there. But yeah, I think it is going to be crucial, because when you look at how teams win, like, for example, that Nationals team a couple of years ago, like, wasn't the best on paper. They were 19 and, you know, and 31 at one point and won the World Series. And a lot of that's like pitching. You know, a lot of these teams, like the Dodgers last year, could hit the heck out of the ball, but, you know, they had the pitching. And I think for the Mets, like, that's where they're trying to get, is they're trying to build that rotation that's going to have them hanging against every single opponent they play. And I think that's that, you know, they've done that to an extent. You know, when Carrasco's healthy, we'll see how this group is at full strength. But yeah, for now, it seems to be a pretty sizable upgrade.
Justin, you were one of the only people in the whole world that saw this Mets team in 2020 up close and personal, live in person. And you were one of the few, besides a select number of fans, that did make it out to the spring training this past spring training that just finished yesterday. What would you say, after seeing this team in spring training and then going into last season, would you consider the most underrated aspect to this Mets team?
Oh, man. Underrated, I'm going to say the mindset, the mentality. I think the maturity of of how they approach the game, in the sense that, like, it's relaxed but professional, actually, you know, to use the term that Sandy Alderson used with me in an interview recently. Like, this team has a young core that loves to have fun off the field. And you see that, you know, you see that on social media, you see that videos. But I think, like, on the field, they're mature enough, more and even more so than recent years, to handle those tough stretches of adversity. And granted, they've got a better roster and everybody talks about that. But the underrated part of that is handling it. And they do have some really good leaders that will help steer them, that I think will help steer them through a lot of those tough times. And I think that's the most underrated part, because, like, look, when you're playing a game, like, and I've never played Major League Baseball, obviously, but I would assume it gets tough over 162 games. You know, like, things happen. Sometimes you don't get the results. Things get frustrating. But I think the key is, like, if you can sometimes let go, detach a little bit, you know, come back the next day, you're going to need those outlets to do that. And I think that's the most underrated part of this team, is, like, you don't have a group of guys who are a bunch of like veteran grouches, in a sense. Like, it's young guys who are energetic, but they're still mature about the expectations surrounding them and how to handle those, and that they need to take care of business. But they understand too that it's, you know, it's a game, you got to have fun. And I think they like to do that off the field and in the clubhouse, because they are so close. And I think that matters. Like, I think team chemistry really does matter, especially when you're with guys for as long as they're in a baseball season, 6, 7, 8 months. And I think that would probably be the most underrated part, because people talk about DeGrom, Lindor, you know, Conforto, the starting rotation, you know, now, like, the infield, the McCann signing, Steve Cohen. But I think beneath all of that is you've got a team that's got really, really good chemistry that's been building even over the last 3 years.
You brought up Lindor. Just a quick follow-up to that. Does this team, in your opinion, after seeing them up close and personal this spring training, see Lindor as that leader that now could only be there for 1 year, or, and it's brand new to the team? Do you see him being that true leader this season?
Yeah, I do. That's actually one of the questions. I don't want to say concerns, because I didn't know what would happen, but that's one of the questions I had going into spring, because going back to January, Lindor has said that he doesn't, you know, he just wants to fit in. He wants to be a piece of the puzzle. He wants to be one of the guys pulling on the rope. He doesn't want to be the guy pulling on the rope, the guy telling everyone what to do. And I think it's been really seamless, in the sense that, you know, during drills here and there, he would work with the prospects, or he would even, you know, teach JD Davis a couple of things about footwork, you know, at third base. And he would, you know, take grounders over here and mess around over there. And I think, like, that fun, loving, joyful attitude is good for guys to see. But I think he's become such a good leader and has appealed to his teammates so much because everybody has lauded his work ethic. And I think that's the big thing, is that he's really, I mean, he's going to be one of the hardest working guys out there. And I think that's the biggest part. And so I really don't see it as BS almost when, you know, Luis Rojas and everybody says that Lindor really has won over the team this quickly, because you do see that on the field and how guys react to him, how they're laughing with him, smiling to him, looking to him, and letting them help. And of course he asked them about their hitting routines and things like that. So it's a back and forth, but I do think they've really taken to him truly as a leader, and he's not going to be that star player that, I don't think there's ever going to be a story written about him, or a credible one at that, about how he's alienated, you know, everybody. Like, he's not that type of star. He's the type of star that wants to fit right in. And I think he's done that. He's won over the team pretty quickly.
Kind of too, going off of the Mets and their back end of the bullpen, how vital is that going to be to have Edwin Diaz kind of solidify himself being back when he was with Seattle compared to what he was back last year?
Yeah, that's going to be huge, because last year he was good, but it was a shortened season. So you don't know, like, some people still question, are we going to get the 2019 Edwin Diaz or the 2020 Edwin Diaz? And so far, you know, in spring training, it looked like we got the 2020 Edwin Diaz, and he looks even better than he did then. That, I would say, is even more important to get that lights out Edwin Diaz, because Seth Lugo is not throwing right now because he's hurt. Because you don't really know what you're going to get out of Jerry's Familia, because you don't really know what you're going to get out of Dellin Betances right now. So I think that bullpen has a potential to be really good, but it's the highest risk area on the team, in my opinion, because of, you know, those question marks of Betances and Familia. So it really, to me, only makes Edwin Diaz that much more important, because if you can rely on him, like, at least you've got, you know, you've got the ninth inning or even a high leverage in the eighth covered if you want to use him there, however they want to use him. But if, you know, if he comes out and that's 2019 Edwin Diaz, then, you know, you're looking to Miguel Castro, Trevor May, and you're kind of just trying to put on the life vest until Seth Lugo comes back. And that would be a huge issue. And you just, I guess you just don't know, because I feel like bullpens in the modern day game are so volatile, and you kind of just don't know what to expect from relievers and then guys. And it's just very hard to project. So that, I would say that is the biggest key, is like, if they can get a lights out Diaz, it's going to cover up a lot of those other question marks in that bullpen, especially because this team can't score so many runs. So it should have a fair amount of leads.
Well, Justin, before we wrap up this interview, we do want a note of, just talk about you for a little bit. And I know this is going to be an exciting season for you, because your first year on the beat, there were no fans in the stands. So your first real true time with the Mets, there were no fans. And now this year, it's a 162 game season, and everything is as normal as it has been in over a year now. So just how excited are you to finally dig in and do some exciting work covering this Mets team?
Yeah, that's the most exciting part, because it's like I took over the middle of 2019. So that just flew, obviously. And it was fun, but it was like I didn't get to start spring training. So then my first full year was going to be last year. And then spring training is going really well. You know, I'm getting more of my footing, and then that gets shut down. And then we have that kind of like the season, like it was good to have a season, but it felt watered down. So now it feels like, even with only a limited number, you know, capacity of fans, it feels like this season is more real, a little more legitimate, more official. And I think like the players are very excited about that, but I am too, just because I think, you know, we all hope the clubhouse access returns, and that the, you know, we can all get the vaccine pretty quickly to kind of move that forward, move that along. But I think just the excitement of being here at the start of a 162 game season is really something cool, because that's what I've always loved about the job, is the opportunity to chronicle the long-term story of a team. And I think baseball is like perfect for that. You know, you have so many things that happen over a 162 game season, and just being here to get the context of everything that happened, to the point where I won't have to do so much looking back and research from the previous months and things like that, because all have been here, is really exciting. And it's just it's exciting, like you kind of said before the show, just like Christmas Eve right now.
It's the best time of year. Do you have any pre-opening day traditions? I know we are recording this interview the night before opening day, so whenever you're listening to this, so do you have any traditions? I know people like to watch a favorite baseball movie. What do you usually go to?
That's great. Yeah, I don't think I do. Like, I'm definitely in the camp that opening day should be a national holiday, but I don't think I do. Like, I try to treat opening day like it's special, because it is, but I don't think I have any like traditions. That might be something I want to get on though. Like, cause I mean, I love Major League, so that wouldn't be bad to watch the movies before opening day. But yeah, I don't have anything exciting for you there.
You gotta go feel the dreams, Justin. Come on.
Yeah, that one. I wish I had a better answer. Maybe I'll just like make up a tradition, so the next time you have me on, I've got something good to tell you.
Hey, there, I know you're on the East Coast, so you got about an hour and 10 minutes before it rolls around. So that's like, you can get 75% of Feel the Dreams done.
Seriously. Yeah, I'll make that my new tradition for the next 50 years in the game.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for taking the time to join Bottom Line Baseball. Where can baseball fans, Mets fans, follow you and read your work, as baseball season's here? It's here, finally.
Oh, yeah, finally. So my Twitter is Justin, JUSTINC Toscano, TOSCANO. And then NorthJersey.com is where you can find my work. So, yeah, I'm around. And my Twitter or my Instagram is Justin Toscano Writes. That's my work Instagram. So, yeah, a lot of cool pictures. I'm trying to post more on there too, man. It's like, you just get wrapped up in the season. It gets so busy. But yeah, so thanks for having me on though, guys. It was a lot of fun.